And now, from the nation's capital, I'm just making that part up. I think CJ's going to cut us some liners, isn't she?
Yeah, I was going to cut the liners, I thought.
Yes, cut anyway.
You don't get to cut any liners, Margaret, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, why not?
Can I open the show? Would that be okay? It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome. We're here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what to talk about. We're a world apart, man. There's radio, and then there are us. And we're happy to be with you. I just was in Washington, D.C., where all this drama is taking place right now. We have Larry Grover on the line with us from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry was just with us last Thursday night. But when it comes to this kind of hardball politics, we do want to get Larry's opinion, and we are going to get that here forthwith. We also would like to tell you that we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, which is where you can go to get a backstage pass and watch our show as it is taking place right now. We have a video cast of our show happening. Check it out, you know, look at it, scratch your whatever you scratch. And
but scratch it or not.
Shut your mouth.
You shut up, bud.
What'd he say?
Never mind what he said. If you're going to say scratch something, man, your chin.
But I said that.
I just got done.
Shut him up.
Larry, how are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing very well, Phil.
You are doing well, huh?
Well, I think that yes, I am doing well. I think that the Congress is making a statement here. The conservative movement in Congress that is attempting to remind the other lawmakers of this country of their duty to the American people. I feel very good tonight. I think it is a wonderful moment for lawmakers of conscience in this country.
Now, you are opposed to... By the way, I just saw a very interesting statistic. It said that the Affordable Care Act, 37% of the American people opposed that. I think it was 37%. The Obamacare, 46%.
I guess what you're saying there is that when you attach the president's name to it, there is a particular amount of acrimony, and that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but I mean, the actual bill itself, it sounds either like people are not as they're not as opposed to the idea of health care as they are just opposed to the idea of Barack Obama. You know.
Well, I don't know. Who knows how the question was asked. I can tell you that there is a very strong movement in this country, obviously opposed to this very destructive act, forcing the American people to buy insurance, and there are those that are voting against it. I think that the Congress is doing what they can do, but I have been a very strong conservative my entire life. My father passed this on to me. My family has been conservative, and there are times when you have to take a stand. To that end, I do not have health insurance. My mother has Medicare, but in order for me to be a conservative, I think in the truest sense of the word, that is not even something that I would want her to have necessarily.
Well, does she have insurance or doesn't she?
She has insurance. What I don't like is the idea that you've got to get insurance, that you're forced to buy insurance. And so to make that statement, we are not going to engage in any purchasing of Obamacare or going to insurance.gov or whatever this thing was. Obama was already trying to hype it. And we are going to either have insurance that we can afford and purchase it ourselves, or get it through our work, or we will not have insurance.
All right. So what are you saying? Are you saying that you give it up on your mother's Medicare, or your
my mother has basic prescription coverage, and I think she's got some hospital. But I am going to do what I can to strip that coverage away. So I want to see what our options are.
What does your mother think of this?
My mother is right now. What I want to tell you is that this is a very, very important step that we're taking as a family, not to be told that we have to buy insurance, And
well, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever you want to call it, that is something that is an optional coverage, is it not?
It's yes, it is optional, but it's not. It's almost to the point now where every senior expects to have it. They expect that they should have it, and it's a given that you're going to have this coverage. On top of that, with this new Obamacare, you've got another layer, if you will. So I am.
Is that how that works? I mean, I don't think it works quite that way. I think it's not a layer so much as it augments. If you have Medicare and you have Medicaid, or you have anything like that, then the Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, can augment or can be in addition to. I don't think it's like one layer of, for instance, hospital coverage on top of the other.
Well, you see, that's the thing that whether it is or whether it isn't, the whole idea of all of a sudden here comes this government infrastructure that's telling us here's what you're going to do, even if you don't have to do it, it's expected. And I said to Mother, and I had a very long conversation with her last night about this, I said, this is an ideological a battle that if we lose this, it's going to change the course, the very heretofore successful course of this country. And I said to her that to see our country succeed, we all have to, you know, as the man said in that movie, you're talking about Full Metal Jacket, Phil, it's a big you-know-what sandwich and we all got to take a bite.
All right, well, what does that mean in terms of your mom? You're talking about health care coverage.
I'm saying that, if you're... I love my mother dearly. I love my mother dearly. But I would rather see her die. And this is a very difficult thing for me to say. And I think anybody that truly opposes the Affordable Care Act, if you will, or Obamacare, is going to have to answer this. I'd rather see her die than see her forced to purchase insurance by a government that is looking to slowly but surely move into the socialization of the country. And
you'd rather see her die. Now that's a very interesting concept. That's an interesting concept to say that you would rather see a member of your family die than to have health care that was mandated by the government. If you made the decision to buy it, why don't you do that?
Because we cannot afford it. I can't afford that kind of coverage right now.
All right, so you can't afford it. So right now there is a affordable option starting tomorrow that you will not choose because it is...
I will not choose that because I don't believe in the increasing, encroaching socialization of this government and this country. I don't believe in forcing the American people at the point of a gun to purchase health care. It boggles the imagination that got so far as to this.
So you'd rather see your mother die from whatever disease than have this?
Well, why would I? It's like saying, Phil, would you like to be alive even though it's the communist state? Do you want to live in a communist state? What is your answer to that?
No, I don't want to live in a communist state.
All right, so would you live or would you die?
What does that mean exactly?
What it means is, if the communists took over, wouldn't you fight it with all of your might?
Well, I would try in my own way to fight it. Yeah, I'm not exactly I wouldn't call myself a guerrilla warrior. Picking up a weapon.
No, I understand that, but would you not resist in any way that you could?
Of course I would, but that doesn't mean I'm going to die. It doesn't mean I'm going to try to go out, and it doesn't mean, the commies have taken over, I'm going to go out and shoot myself.
No, I'm not saying that, but wouldn't you resist even if it meant your life?
Probably I would, yes. I think that I probably would.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying to my mother. I'm saying, Mother, I love you. And no one can ever say that I don't love her or my entire family, my father. But if she's got to die so that this affordable, so-called Affordable Care Act does not see the light of day, then she's got to go down. And I don't mean that, Phil, in any sense that it's a hostile act that I want to take her life, but...
What about you, okay?
What about me?
Are you willing to die if it means not having Obamacare? Are you willing to die?
I'm not going to die. I'm a good deal younger than Mother. She's an elderly woman.
No, but I mean, would you be willing to give your life so that there wouldn't be Obamacare?
But no, this is different. It's not having to fight... I'm saying to Mother, if you have a cancerous tumor, if you are in need of a blood transfusion, but you're getting it by way of the Obama Affordable Care Act, don't you feel it's better that you just go ahead and allow that disease to do what it's going to do rather than introduce and continue the socialization of America?
And what did she say?
Well, the question, it's not so much what she said, but that's the question that I want everyone to...
Well, what is your mother there?
My mother is here.
Hi, Bill. It's Gloria. Larry wants me to stop using Medicare, and you know that that's a part of my daily ablutions.
It's not an ablution, Mother. An ablution is a cleansing. It's a cleansing.
Well, then what I'm saying, so what, Larry? Where did you learn that?
It's a religious, to perform an ablution is to cleanse an area. It's to cleanse it with a hand towel.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
What we're talking about, Phil, is that Larry said to me that I wasn't allowed to have insurance.
No, I didn't, Mother.
Hold on, Larry. I wasn't allowed to have insurance if it's Obama insurance.
I have it.
But the ablution...
I told you.
Yeah, how about that, Phil? An ablution is something that you cleanse with a towel.
Phil, you know, Mother's making it sound as if I want her to die tomorrow. I don't want Mother to die. I don't want Mother to die. But if it means a choice between death and an Obama health care plan that I've been forced to pick up, then I would rather, and you asked me, what about me, right?
Yeah, but see, you're talking about your mother, and you'd like her to die.
I do not want my mother to die.
No, but I'm saying you would be willing to see her die if it was to advance the cause of no Obamacare.
Yes, sir.
All right, what about you?
What about me?
Are you willing to not have Obamacare and to die?
Phil, I'm a good deal younger than Mother. I plan on getting married. It's very interesting how you've taken this from being a philosophical discussion, and you're trying to put egg on my to have egg drip from the chin on my face.
No, I'm not. I'm asking you. Are you willing to die from a cancerous disease? If it means not having Obamacare.
That's a different story entirely, because I'm planning on being married, I'm planning on having children, I'm planning on having a life after I am able to move out of here, but come on your program.
This is Gloria Shell.
Why do you keep picking up the...
Hold on, Phil, this is Gloria. Larry asked me before he went on the air, he said, if you have egg on your face, how do you suppose it got there? I said, Larry, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, Mother, would you please have common decency?
Larry, let her talk, will you?
I said, how would you put egg that drips off someone's face? I said, Larry, what do you mean? He said, well, what about in a squirt gun? Because I'm trying to make the point. How did egg get on the face?
When they say that I've got egg on my face, well, how did it get there? Did you get an egg thrown at you? Well, no.
A squirt gun?
I'm trying to... the most humiliating way.
And so, Phil...
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be right back on the Phil Hendry Show and talk to Larry Grover and his mother, Gloria, about Obamacare, or, if you will, the Affordable Care Act. Apparently, they're two different things. Not really, but if you ask people, what do you think of Obamacare, 46% don't like it. If you ask people, what do you think of the Affordable Care Act, 37% don't like that one. So that's, you know... All right, we're going to be back here with Larry Grover and his mother, and Gloria Grover is with us as well. Always good to talk with her. We're talking about Obamacare and just exactly what is in the future. What's in the cards, baby, as the night progresses here and the looming government shutdown is, well, it's looming. It's looming, and it's lurking, and
It's definitely creeping.
Yeah, it's creepy crawling. It's creepy crawling, yeah. The government shutdown is creepy crawling your house, man. We'll see what happens, okay? Our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Would you, go ahead and just allow yourself to die from a cancerous tumor, maybe a raging brain tumor, rather than buy Obamacare? And it's kind of a silly question, but that's the question being asked in the Grover household this evening. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Nice to be with you here this evening, and took a little trip back east on Friday. I was with a friend who's having some surgery, and so I was in our nation's capital on Friday, and it's very funny how, you know, it's Larry Grover is joining us as well from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is on the line with us from Culver City, California this evening, and has decidedly a very strong opinion on Obamacare. You are right there with the House, I guess the House Conservative Caucus or the Tea Party Caucus. You're right there with those guys in holding the line on insisting on a one-year delay on this, as well as getting rid of this this tax on medical devices. Correct, Larry?
Yeah, as I said to you, Phil, we are 100% in, 100% in the corner with these House, the House Republicans. Now, the House Senate is, the Senate, the senator, or there's more than one senator, but I'm thinking of Senator Cruz, who was, I think he's a courageous man to have made the statement that he didn't want to have this Obamacare, and he got up and he did what he did, okay? So it wasn't a real filibuster. Maybe it was just a long speech. Say what you will. Ted Cruz did what he did. The thing that bothers me a little bit about Cruz is now he's making the rounds of the talk shows. And there's nothing wrong with making the rounds of the talk shows, except he looks very happy and satisfied. He's got a half smile on his face. He's looking like he's enjoying the limelight. I don't think he remembers that what he was fighting for here is the American people and the fact that we don't want them to be taxed into the annihilation, into extinction. And there he is smiling and, you know, almost like a TV star.
What about that don't you like?
My mother here.
Larry, he doesn't like that Ted Cruz is now some kind of a media star, and he likes that Ted Cruz was obviously, you know, very feeling strongly, and now he's on television, and he thinks, well, I don't want to think.
And it doesn't smell.
He thinks that it doesn't smell, however you want to put it.
All right, so Ted Cruz is enjoying himself too much?
Yeah, that's very healthy.
When you pull the phone away from my hand like that, it's very rude, Larry.
Sorry, Mother. You know, we argue on the phone.
I swear to God.
Mother, I think that Ted Cruz he looks like he's enjoying himself too much. He looks like he thinks that this is a big party. I think Ted Cruz did a great thing. But then to sit there on television for 3, 4, 5 straight days after the fact and is acting like, oh, look at me, I'm Ted Cruz, I'm a star, I think that's wrong. I think that all of a sudden he went from sacrificing maybe his career to make this point, and now he is sitting there in front of the TV cameras acting like he's a big shot.
I don't see him acting like a big shot. He's taking advantage of...
Phil, allow me, because I think I know the issue a little bit better than you. He acts like I can just tell that he thinks he's good-looking. It's hard to put into words, but I can tell by looking at him, and he's not a handsome man. I heard more women say that they thought he was quite hard on the eyes. But now that he has gotten all this love, he thinks he's handsome, and it's hard to say.
So what is the problem that you have with him? This is beside the point, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's beside. You got a guy that's a Tea Party, a strong, very, very strong Tea Party guy, and now he thinks that he is going to go to bed with one of these anchors that's interviewing him. That's what I'm worried about. And
where did you go from Ted Cruz giving a speech to now he thinks he's going to bed with an anchor?
Well, I'm just telling you that this is the lure, okay?
All right, so I suppose that in its way, the lure of the television camera and the Klieg lights and the entire platform the TV affords one, it can be quite seductive. Is that... really what you're saying?
Well, and when it comes to a guy who is an ideologically, at least was ideologically one of the beacons of light, one of the beacons of hope in this fight, somebody that I would look to and say, we've got young men like Ted Cruz, we've got young men like this kid Chavez from Utah, we've got young men like Rubio, we've got young men like, not young men, but women like Michelle Bachmann. And then when I see Cruz, he's playing to the female anchors. You can see that he's trying to hit on them. I don't think it speaks well for him.
All right. Well, maybe Ted Cruz is going to be replaced by the Senate leadership when it comes to some of these interviews.
Well, I think it's beyond him. I think they're requesting him. And
well, maybe they'll say something to him.
I don't know what they could say, you know.
Well, they'll tell him to tone it down a little bit. I mean, I don't see any of this stuff you're talking about that he thinks he's going to bed with TV anchors. But if that's happening, I'm sure, and it's distracting from what the goal here is, then I'm sure someone's going to say something. We're talking to Larry Grover here from Conservatives of Kern County about the... We're talking about, you know, this government shutdown thing is really beside the point. The government shutdown is the government shutdown, but it's the whole reason for this is the result of the a portion of the Republican Party in the House opposed to the Obama Affordable Care Act, or if you will, Obamacare, and how they simply... Now, I've heard it said that this is a war that was fought that...
It's not a war that was fought.
Well, hold on. That this was a bill that was voted on. It was passed by both houses. It was signed by the president. It passed muster with the Supreme Court of the United States of America when the constitutionality of it was challenged. And it's now law. And these guys in the House of Representatives, these Republicans, are doing what exactly?
They're making a stand. They're standing up for what's right. They're I believe they, if they stick together and they hang tough, that they can actually, I think, force the president to delay the Affordable Health Care Act. It doesn't make any difference to me, because at the end of the day, I will not purchase any health insurance, and I don't have health insurance. I have none.
And on top of that, you're not only going to not buy it for yourself, you won't have your mother purchase any, you won't have your mother covered at all. In fact, you want to roll back. So you're putting lives on the line in your own family.
I am saying that I am not putting lives on the line. I don't believe that I am. Hold on, mother. You'll get your chance.
I'd like to hear from her.
Go ahead.
Phil, Larry said that in order for us to support the holding the line on spending in this country, that what we need to do is to sacrifice, and he feels that sacrificing in our family. What I don't appreciate, Larry, is that I'm the one that will die.
You're not going to die, Mother.
Well, Larry, you said that you're not going to be the guy that's going to forego Obamacare. You're not going to be the guy that's going to forego insurance, even if it is Obamacare. It's your mother.
It's me, and I'm the one that will die. I'm the one.
Have a tumor, Mother. But if you die, it's very difficult to get people to understand this, Phil.
What happened to this death panel thing? I thought Obama was the guy that was killing old people.
You know, that is a very, very... that is very wrong of what you just said there is very, very wrong. For you to say something like that?
Well, I thought that that's what Obama was doing. You got your mother that you're willing to sacrifice to the gods of the Tea Party, so...
No, it's not the gods. Try not to be silly, okay?
Well, you're saying to your mother she doesn't have... You don't want her buying health insurance.
No, mother is not going to get Obamacare.
Even if it kills her.
What do you mean kills her?
If she's got a disease or something, man, and she needs insurance...
You want me to run an insurance company out of business so that they can insure mother with a pre-existing condition? I'm just asking, okay? I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I'm not saying... Is that what you're asking?
Run them out of business? You're not going to be running them out of business. They aren't going to have the kind of profit margin maybe that they did have. You're not running anybody out of business. You're going to be getting your mother insurance, man. That's what you're going to be getting. All right, let's take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show. It's a bizarre discussion, and it's going to get even bizarrer over.
What is he talking about? trying to say? Is he trying to say he's going to kill his mother?
No, he's not going to kill his mother. He just doesn't want her to have Obamacare. And if it means killing her, yes.
Well, then he wants to kill her.
No, he just says that if it... No! We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. We've got football to talk about tonight as well with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell. And we also have our Book of the Month Club, well, maybe Book of the Day Club, coming up. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County talking about this Obamacare, government shutdown, everything else. Now, I know you're a conservative, Larry, and we're going to get Jack Armstrong on here in just a moment, somebody that I know you don't particularly relish debating.
No, I got nothing against Jack. I just, he calls himself an American. He's got what sounds like a Hispanic accent. He is very, I think he's he monopolizes the conversation.
All right, but getting back to your point of view here on Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, that you're willing to let your mother die.
No, I'm not willing to let my mother die. I'm saying, you know...
That's exactly what you're saying. You're willing to let her die rather than buy Obamacare. Is that right?
No, but Obama's the guy that's... You made the point, the death panels. All right?
What? I don't know what you mean by death panels, but I'm...
I'm telling you that they're going to decide on who gets coverage.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing with your mother. You don't want her to have Obamacare so she doesn't get coverage and she could die.
You know, you're very cute the way that you make stuff sound that I didn't mean for it to sound that way. And this is what you people in talk radio do. And the liberal media, I got to tell you, is out of control, you know.
The liberal media, you know, if there's a liberal talk show host out there, if there's one to every four conservative hosts, man, that's liberal, you know.
What's liberal?
The estimate. Look, here's the point.
Now, the liberal media, you make stuff sound the way that it isn't supposed to. I said that my mother... who I love and who was the inheritor of my father's estate, we cannot at present afford health care for the two of us. I'm not going to get health care, even if it means that
If you're an emergency and if you have an emergency, you go to the hospital and you don't have health insurance, you don't mind getting cared for at that hospital, right?
If you're going to say that I'm going to have taxpayers pay for me...
Well, that's what I'm asking. Are you willing to accept the charity, which ultimately is the charity of the taxpayers? Are you willing to accept that, Larry, in order for you not to have Obamacare?
You see...
Well, are you?
Phil, this is Gloria.
Mother, I'm on the phone right now. I told you, Mother.
Phil, this is...
Get off the phone.
You just called me a bitch.
No, I did not.
Me a whore.
No, I did not call her. I did not call her a whore. I said to get off the phone.
Call me a whore.
Mother, I did not call her a whore. I said get off the phone. Don't whore the phone is what I said.
Well, you know, you can say whatever you want.
I didn't say that, Mother. I said don't whore the phone. That's different from calling you a whore. All right?
What does that mean, don't whore the phone?
Don't hog it.
That doesn't mean don't hog it. Don't whore the phone.
I have the phone now. Now, you can't get the phone from me. The comment that I made was simply this. As a conservative fan, I'm willing to challenge anyone out there that calls themselves a conservative not to get Obamacare, even if it means you die. Or if it means that you do not tap into the taxpayer so that you and your family can get paid... I don't know anybody. Most of the people I know can afford it.
All right, most of the people you know can afford it, but some people can't. Isn't that true?
I don't know that I want to be talked to like...
Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so do you want those guys to go to a hospital and get free medical aid or free medical service, or do you advise them just to simply stay at home and bleed to death or whatever?
What do you mean bleed to death?
All right, let me ask you, I'll give you an example of a guy that I just read about here not too long ago. He had an extremely serious injury. He severed, like, his hand. He's bleeding. He's bleeding. The guy needs to go to the hospital. He needs to get a blood transfusion. He needs to have this this wound treated. He needs to, if possible, have this hand reattached. I mean, there's all kinds of surgery. There's all kinds of stuff that's going to be involved. This guy didn't have any insurance at all, but he went ahead because, obviously, he doesn't want to die, you know? Are you telling me that you'd lay there and bleed to death?
This guy had no... What was his political persuasion?
I don't know what his political persuasion was, but if that was you, okay...
That was me.
And you're bleeding to death. You're telling me, don't take me to the hospital because I don't want the American taxpayer to pay for this. I want to bleed to death.
Look, Phil, you've got all these Mexicans.
Forget about the Mexicans. I'm asking you, okay?
Phil, Larry, you're just a Mexican.
Okay.
What did you do?
Nothing. I took the phone away from her. That's all I did.
You almost hit me.
I did not hit you, though, did I?
Okay, look, Mr. Grover, I'm hanging the phone up here. Once again, I have to threaten to hang the phone up on you because I'm hearing you engaged in some kind of unacceptable behavior.
Well, that sounds like I'm sexually assaulting my own mother.
I didn't say that. It sounded like you hit her or something.
That's what she wishes. All I'm saying is that the only assault that I've... And it's not even assault. I don't want her getting this Obamacare. And if it means she dies, she dies. All right, there. Is that plain enough?
Yeah, that's plain enough. At least you are sticking to your guns.
That's exactly right.
Larry, tell Phil, if that was you that had the severed penis...
Oh, man, she's really...
The what?
Phil, Larry was talking about Lorena Bobbitt severing John Bobbitt's penis. And I
think... May I have the phone, please?
And what?
And I said, would you call the emergency?
Would you?
If it was my penis, yes. Of course I would. That's a whole different ball of wax. That's a whole different thing. There's no way that you allow a woman to cut your penis off while you're sleeping and not want to go to the hospital and have it reattached, even if you don't have insurance.
All right, so in other words, there's a hierarchy of injuries that you would consider going to the hospital for, even without insurance.
Of course.
All right, and that puts you in the category of those Mexicans that you like to talk about that have no insurance.
No. That would be a one-time and one-time-only deal. Okay?
What if she cut it off again?
If she cut it off again?
What? Who is this woman that's cutting your penis off?
Wouldn't you like to know? It's probably my ex-wife, Marcy, for all I know. What are you talking about, Tother?
Why don't you go to the hospital?
How many times would you go to the hospital with a severed penis as opposed to any other injury? How many times would you accept Obamacare if you had a severed penis?
You know, this is the most asinine discussion that I've ever had in my life.
All right, it may be asinine, but it goes right to the heart of this discussion, this argument. What kind of medical service will you accept even if it means you don't have health insurance?
Well, you know, then I've got to go out and get health insurance.
There you go, baby. You got to go out and get health insurance. Now, why not, if you got to go out and get health insurance, why not get some of that Obamacare?
Larry doesn't want to talk about this anymore because you're beating him in the argument.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. You're beating him in the argument, and you don't...
Call her back and make sure she's okay.
Oh, my God. I just heard the phone go dead.
Yeah, why went dead if I'm going to call him up?
Call her up. I want to find out. All right, 855-500-7445, Phil Henry Show, Larry Grover and his mother on the phone there. Okay, are you there, Gloria?
That's all right. You grabbed the phone from...
I don't like the things she said.
I'm saying them, Larry. You may not like what I say, but I'm saying them. And I had said to him, you don't want medical insurance and you don't want Obamacare. What if Marcy severed your penis in the middle of the...
Ridiculous thing.
It's not ridiculous if you think of it in terms of needed medical care. You say that you'll sit and bleed to death if somebody's cut your arm off, but, I'm telling you, Larry. So let's get Jack Armstrong on here.
No, you're not going to get Armstrong on here now that you've got me on the defensive and you're putting that guy on the air. I find that to be very, very unfair, Bill.
Well, he's been booked, so what do you want me to do? Jack Armstrong on the phone with us here on the Phil Henry Show from Minneapolis, and always good to have you on the line. Jack, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil, and Larry, I was just to say to you, I hope you never meet a woman who's going to sever your penis.
Well, you know, you want to make a joke about that, Jack, but here is the problem with the Obamacare.
No. I think what the problem with Obamacare is simply this, that you and people like you in the Tea Party and on the right-wing side of the political equation, you want to have your cake and eat it, too. You don't want to have no health care that is mandated, but, you know, if someone cuts your penis off, you need to have the doctor there to sew it back on, don't you? And what if that doctor is an Obamacare doctor?
You know, again, this is a ridiculous argument. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. It already happened to one guy.
You're talking about Larry Bobbitt?
Larry Bobbitt? I thought his name was John Wayne Bobbitt.
John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. John Wayne Bobbitt. John Wayne Bobbitt. What kind of insurance did he have? This is not a discussion that I feel like having. I mean, all I'm trying to say to you is that there is a time and a place.
Well, you know, Larry is dead meat. And the reason why he's dead meat is...
I'm not dead meat.
No, the reason why he's dead meat is because the logic of the argument of insurance, finally, it falls on the ears of a man who can no longer hide from the truth. And the truth is that if you need medical care, you need to have the medical insurance, then you're going to get it, regardless of whether or not it's Obamacare, regardless of whether or not it's mandated. And Larry, now, tomorrow, you will be able to go and buy insurance for your mother so she does not have to have a brain tumor or anything like that.
I'm not going to get that.
You're not going to get that.
All right, let's take a break here. We have Larry Grover, Jack Armstrong on the line with us as well as we talk about the Obamacare. Because to me, that's what the argument is, you know.
It's not about the government shutdown.
The government, whatever. The government's going to shut down. The government doesn't get shut down. That's the result. Who cares? I do care. But these clowns talking about a government getting shut down, what they ought to be talking about is, you know... smacking some people into shape and not allowing their ideology, especially when it's a done deal, man. When it's a done deal, these cats want to argue this thing all the way on down the line. So absolutely aghast, agog, and freaked out by health insurance, by the idea of national health care. So freaked out they are by this that they are willing to continue talking about it morning, noon, and night. Every day of the week, you know, 12 hours a day, even though you've got this law that's been passed until Obama is no longer president. And then, of course, the next president, if he still has this Affordable Care Act in place, they're going to be bugging him until finally all these cats just die. And in about 50 years, it'll be a curiosity in the history books that there were people fighting to the death over the idea of national health care. It would be kind of like the way... maybe the way we view... I don't want to bring up any kind of issue that's going to piss anybody off.
Yeah, like slavery.
Slavery.
That's, well...
All right, well, let's not be too extreme. But yeah, it would be kind of like the way this generation might look back on a political argument. How about trusts? How about trust busting?
What?
What do you mean by that?
The idea that Teddy Roosevelt wanted to break up the trusts. He didn't want companies owning lots and lots of other companies. That there was... Well, actually, we have those now, don't we?
Yeah, it's called the Clear Channel. Yeah, the Clear Channel.
Okay, great. Anyway, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. You guys had to bring up my business. You had to bring up something from my business. All right, we'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let me tell you also, coming up on Saturday, starting at 4 o'clock, we're at the L.A. Podcast Festival. Bobby Dooley is going to be with me, huh?
You have to escort Bobby Dooley. Oh, I can't wait.
Bobby Dooley will be with me at the L.A. That's not going to be on the air. That's going to be a podcast, so you have to be tuned into our podcast to hear that one. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So I guess the discussion now has devolved to this. For those of you that are opposed to Obamacare, but you don't have insurance, if your penis was severed by your wife, would you, you know, go ahead and accept free medical care at the hospital? Then, yeah. Welcome back here. Sorry, Larry, I don't mean to be making fun of you, but that seems to be where we're at right now.
No,
No, we're not there. You're the guy that brought this up. You're the one that thought that this was a kind of a funny way to go, but I don't think it's funny at all. I think that you've got a lot of Americans that cannot afford this and that are going to be, they're going to be flat out of luck when this thing, when the full weight of this thing becomes law.
But, I mean, it is an interesting point. Jack Armstrong joining us here from Minneapolis on the Newsmaker line. Jack, don't you think that, like everything else, politics is a local thing, as they say. Politics comes down to how it affects you, me, the individual. Don't you think that when push comes to shove, even the most ideologic opponent of national health care or the Affordable Health Care Act, sooner or later those guys will come around if it's a medical service that they need?
Oh, there's no question in my mind, Phil, no question at all. And I think, Larry, if Larry was being honest, you can talk all you want like a conservative, like a Tea Party, till the cows come home, you know, and talk about this and that and this and that. But when, you know, when push comes to shove...
What do you mean when the cows come home? What's that mean?
I mean, it's the same when the cows come home, you know.
Well, you see, here's the thing. These guys who claim to be liberals... And they use this cows come home, which I think a lot of, you know, women would take offense to.
Oh, Larry, this has got nothing to do with women.
Let me have the phone, Larry. Uh-oh. It's got nothing to do with women. Cows come home is an old...
It's an old saying.
Boy, oh boy, you're something else, Grover, you know that?
I'm something else, huh? Here you are, you call yourself an American, and you've got an accent, man. When I find out...
Hey, listen, let me tell you something, my friend. I'm an American like you are American, like everybody is an American. That's the most important thing.
That's the most important. You sound like you come from...
I sound like what? You sound like you come from hunger, man. Strictly from hunger.
All right. I'll say it again. If you want to argue health care based upon whether your penis has been severed, you can do that all the live long day, my friend.
Or is, until the cows come home?
The who comes home? What is he talking about?
Cows come home, man. You've never heard that phrase before.
No, I have not. I find it offensive.
God, I'm more of an American than you because that's an American saying.
You know, I refuse to believe this guy's an American. He's got an accent as thick. You could cut that with... You could cut it with a with butter. Not with butter. You could cut it with a...
You could cut it with a knife? That's how thick it is?
You could cut... What?
Hey, Phil, can I just make a point?
Go ahead.
I had some things I wanted to say.
Yeah, but while you're thinking about how you want to say it, I want to say this to Phil. I think you brought up a very good point tonight, Phil. I think it's an important point to make. This Affordable Health Care Act is something that the Tea Party is opposed to unless these guys wake up in the middle of the night and Lorena Bobbitt is standing over them with a knife. Then all bets are off.
If this is the biggest argument you got for affordable health care, friend, you're going to be... You're in big, big trouble, okay?
Yeah, but, you know, it is the point if it's medical service that you need.
Yeah, and I think that... Forget about whether it's Lorena Bobbitt, okay?
Didn't I just tell you guys that my mother, I'll let mother die, okay, rather than have affordable health care?
And, Larry, if that's something you really mean, my friend, then I feel bad for your mother, I feel bad for you, that you would let your mother die... rather than to have the affordable health care.
Because I don't want to rob the American taxpayer and I don't want to rob the American people of the hard-earned money that they have earned in a very hard way. In a very hard way, the money they earned, okay?
You don't want to rob the American taxpayer, but you let your mother rot just to die and to rot?
I didn't say rot, did I, okay?
Well, what about a funeral? I mean... You know, we can get as silly as you want to. Who's going to pay for a funeral, you know?
I'm not going to let mother rot, if that's what you're talking about.
You would let her die, though.
If I couldn't afford health insurance...
What about throwing yourself on the mercy of the hospital and...
No. I'm not going to do what a lot of... And you took exception to this, Phil, but that's exactly what a lot of these immigrants and this Mr. Armstrong... I'm not saying anything, but I'll bet when your people first came to this country...
No, sir, my father was a doctor himself, okay? So we never had to go to the emergency room and throw ourselves on the mercy of anything. We always could afford the health care, okay?
All right, and did your father treat a lot of people that were not insured?
Of course he did. That's my father treated a lot of people, and they were not all immigrants either. A lot of them were Americans that could not afford the hell. My father did that all the time. And I'll tell you something else, my friend. My father didn't go to a taxpayer to get the money. He didn't go to anybody. Sometimes he had to just take the loss, you know?
Well, your father was a good man, and I you know, I can only hope and pray that there's a guy like him out there someday. If Mother is ready to die, well...
I want to say something, since everyone's talking about me dying, Phil.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Gloria, by the way, it's just Jack Armstrong. Gloria, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. I'm, you know, I love my son, and when you come on the program, you give him up. He gets very upset, so I don't want to encourage you. I want to say that Larry is a good boy. Now, if he's going to let me die, then I can tell you, Larry, that I'll come back and haunt you to the point that I would sit on the edge of the bed one night and you'd wake up and see it and you'd scream and never stop screaming.
You're right.
That's exactly what'll happen, Larry.
You hear what she said? You hear what she said?
Yes, sure.
All right, thank you very much. So she's going to come back and haunt your ass, Larry. If I were you, I would take that very, very seriously. I would not allow that to... I would not allow the night to pass without garlic or something, man. Mother's going to come back and haunt your ass. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. And we'll be right back after these commercials and stuff and news and stuff like that. All right, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, and I can't turn the TV down, and neither can you, bud.
Yeah, I can't get the guy to shut up.
It's not about getting the guy to shut up. It's about getting this TV to turn this loud crap down. What do I keep telling you, man? Why don't you... There you go. You got to turn the thing. You have to turn it so that it's right side up.
Did you have that upside down again?
What? The remote, you jackass. If you have the remote upside down, then what you think is the volume button is actually the channel button. And when you move it off the channel on cable, Jack, it's all over.
Well.
No, not well anything, man. When you get it off of the channel it's supposed to be on cable, and the next thing you know, you're in that never, never land of fuzzy and, it's off of channel 3. You know.
Well, why doesn't that work properly? What is that?
Because all television sets, all TV sets that are made, no, regardless of the set, still has to pump the entire cable platform through one VHS channel. Either 3 or 4 is generally one of the 2 channels. I mean, this is essentially, they're still making television sets like this. Why don't they just make TV sets where you just turn on, there's the cable, you know?
What?
See that fuzzy TV up there, man? That's because it's not on channel 3 anymore.
Yeah, they got out on channel 3. If you don't have it on channel 3, man, you all don't know that. What are you talking about?
You know what? You're an idiot. Get up. Give me that. So now I got to push channel 3, then I hit select, see? Is it doing it?
It's doing something.
Ah, yes, there it is.
Well, don't mock me.
Well, I mean, that's what I had to do. I had to go to channel 3 and whatever. So anyway, welcome back to the program, folks. What a day, what a life. I'm in love, man. Major League Baseball, 4-2. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays lead the Toronto Blue Jay. I believe that's who they're playing. I don't know, man. I don't follow what you call baseball. It's 4-2, and it is in, I believe, the top of the ninth inning. So that would be Tampa Bay at bat, trying to add to their thang. And it's the one-game playoff, you know.
I thought they had to have like a best of.
You know, like a best of 3?
No, it's a one-game playoff. So Tampa Bay is leading 4-2. They're playing the ball game in Toronto, and if they win, then they go on and they play somebody, and I don't know what the hell. This season has been very interesting for me because the Dodgers did well, and you know, then I can get into it. I think I'm about as normal a sports fan as you can possibly get. There's just nothing really about me that says anything other than normal sports fan. I'm not a fanatic. I do not follow fantasy football. I don't have anything against fantasy football, but I do think it's kind of a fanatic. It's not a fanatical thing, but I don't think those are typical fans. I think fantasy the fantasy leagues are still engaged in by a minority of fans.
Now, what is a fantasy league? Well, what are you looking at me like I'm something? What is that about?
It means that we got to explain this.
Well, then explain it.
We don't have any time to explain it. We got to get on to other things.
Well, you're going to explain it because I represent a fair amount of the audience. What's a fantasy league?
Margaret.
What is it?
Don't slam the book down.
What is it?
A fantasy league.
What is it?
What are you getting out of your purse?
She's pulling a knife.
No, I'm not. I'm getting out a knife. It's an emery board for my fingernails. You are a real jackball.
A fantasy league is a league that you partake in as a fan, and you have different players, and you create your own fantasy team from real players.
There got to be real players.
You get real players that are currently playing.
Yes, and you take the statistics and the overall success or failure rate of these individual players based upon their statistical output. Depending upon the position, the statistic is going to be different. And you can judge the success of your team by those statistics. So that's how you do that. And
you do this every week?
Yes, you do it every week during the football season. And there's all kinds of fantasy leagues for all kinds of sports. There's a fantasy league they've got going now in England, because I follow the Premier League soccer over there, or the football over there. They have a fantasy league. I guess they got fantasy baseball or something else. I don't know. As far as I can tell, I think this game over? 5-2. It is the bottom half of the ninth inning. The Tampa Bay Rays got a run in the top half of the ninth, so it's now, I believe, well, I don't know what's going on, man.
All right, but that's the baseball playoffs.
That's the baseball playoffs, yeah. So there you have it, folks. All right, so moving back to where were we? We were actually going to get on Ted Bell and Steve Bozell to talk. What are you doing, bud?
Thank you.
I mean, we've been out since Friday, because if you just joined me, I mean, we've been out on Friday. We went to Washington, D.C. to be with a friend of ours, Barry Louise, because she has been suffering with some health problems, and I wanted to hang with her, make sure she was okay. And so back to Washington we went. Washington, D.C. is always a fun city to be in for me. I like it. It's a button-down town, man. I mean, everybody that you see in that town at night has got on the coat and the tie, or maybe it's the hotel that I was in. I don't know what, but I was sitting there in the bar of the hotel, and I don't usually do that. I usually like to just drink by myself in the hotel room, depressed, spinning the chamber on a gun. I'm kidding. No, I don't.
What?
I'm joking.
That's a very, very disturbing image.
I'm kidding around, okay? I'm sure. I'm by myself in a hotel spinning the chamber on a gun.
Well, Phil, that disturbs people.
Why am I going to fly back to Washington, D.C. and do that? I can find a perfectly good hotel out here to do it in. In any event, I got into town about 9 o'clock, checked in, then I went and I had a drink, or two, or three, or six, but I was watching the baseball game. And the reason why I brought this up is because I have never really been much in recent years of a baseball fan. I used to be. But, you know, as we get older, different things, man. I don't know. Football has become the sport that I like. I follow some of the soccer. I follow hockey. I follow auto racing. I don't know. But I really enjoyed sitting watching this Washington National game, is what it was the team.
Who are they playing?
They were playing who the hell were they playing, man? The Phillies, I think? Philadelphia, something like that. And I was enjoying the hell out of it, but I noticed everybody in the place, and I had...
Did you have your usual Don Julio Blanco?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Jesus.
What's with that?
What are you doing with that?
Don't you drink anything other than that?
No, I do not drink anything other than that. No, I don't. No, no. I've come to a point in my life when I know exactly what I like to drink, and I drink it, okay? No, I don't.
You don't drink anything, any Courvoisier?
I would rather... I'd pour that in a gutter.
In the gutter. You see, this is what I'm saying.
Go away. You're getting way off the point here, man.
I don't want to talk about Courvoisier or cognac or any of that swill, okay? That's what I drink, tequila. You can have your whatever you drink.
I love the Remy Martin, all right? Now, you know that.
Yeah, I know. You never stop talking about it.
And I never will stop talking about it. The Louis XIV,
I know, which is, what is it now, $200 a shot?
Thereabouts. That is what I live and die for. Oh, it is fantastic. You never have that?
No, I don't go in and order $200 shots.
Oh, I see. You're the everyman, is that it?
But, Margaret, I could be the richest guy on earth. I wouldn't order $200 shots. Are you nuts? What is that about?
It's a very, 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 very good drink. Ow. God.
Well, don't pound your finger into the...
I broke a nail.
That's fine. I'm not going to order a $200 shot. I just can't. I can't justify that. Okay. Now, I mean, I finally cracked open that 1942...
You got that 1942 Don Julio?
I finally cracked open the 42 Don Julio that was given to me by David Hall. In fact, David's, I think he's, is he out for dinner this evening with Daphne? Let's get him on the phone. David, you know that I finally did crack that 42, right?
So what'd you think of it?
It was very good. But it wasn't made in 1942.
I beg your pardon, the Don Julio 1942... Which is the añejo? That's the stuff you said you like.
I like that, yeah. But that 42 Don Julio was not made in 1942.
Then why is it called 1942?
Because that's the year the distillery was started. So they were celebrating the year the distillery was started. It was a 60-year anniversary. That bottle came out in 2002.
All right, so it's an 11-year-old bottle.
Yeah, you can say that.
Oh, my God, what did he just do?
Yeah, boy, Mr. Ed, it was weird.
What did you do, Phil?
What did you just do?
What do you mean, what did I just do?
He just went, yeah!
That's exactly, but it was worse than that.
Yeah, I was talking to you, and then I heard, like that.
Yeah, it's almost like you got grabbed or something.
I said, yeah. I said the word, yeah.
No, you went, ah!
You know, everything with you guys, it turns into some, you know, like Little Miss Muffet getting scared by a spider.
Well, Phil, it did sound a little effeminate.
Yeah, you're all like going, ooh!
Oh, shut up, Bud.
For once, Bud isn't wrong. Daphne, you heard it, right, honey? What did he say? See? And
you know, when she learns to speak English, man, I'll be talking to her, okay?
What's that supposed to mean?
Every time I listen to her, it's blah, 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 blah.
Hey, honey, he says you always got something in your mouth. Well, maybe paddle. I'm sorry. That's what she said you sounded like.
You know what? I'm telling you, is she always eating?
Boy, you are some kind of slob. You know that? That's the woman I love.
I understand, but if you want me to talk to her, then I need to talk and not hear, whoa, 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 whoa.
I didn't ask you to talk to her. I said, hey, honey, what did Henry sound like just now? See, the more you give her crap, the more effeminate she's going to make you sound.
In any event, you're right, an 11-year-old bottle of tequila. Now, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. I got to, I'm late again here. And I want to get Ted Bell and Steve Bozell on to talk about this weekend past of football. Another very, very interesting weekend. And also, they were not on the air because we were back in D.C. It's funny how that happens, but they will be on the air with the Pro Football Game of the Week coming up this Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. And then on Saturday, we are at the L.A. Podcast Festival with Bobby Dooley. That starts at 4 o'clock, goes all the way to 5:30. And we'll give you more details on that. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back here. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show. This week, as I mentioned, we have the LA Podcast Festival coming up. Ted Bell and Steve Bozell are going to be back with us for the football game of the week. And other frivolity, you know. It's just we're very happy to be back on the air here. We're very happy to have rebooted the show, and you know this version of the Phil Henry Show. And there's been a lot of them, but really, I mean the current version we do of the Phil Henry Show is 23 years old. But this sort of subversion or this reboot of the show is about as near to square one as I've ever started a radio show. And part of the reason for that was the fact that we were with a syndication company for 6 years that was just it. I might as well have been missing an action, man. But that's not all of it. The other part of that is in sort of letting the show evolve and go places where maybe it hasn't gone before, and let the show continue to become something other than a talk show, which is the last thing I want to do. I cannot stand, I'm just going to come out and tell you that, I don't like talk radio, not the way it is. And, of course, that's why we've been talking about the, that's why we've been talking about the government shutdown, because I can't stand talk radio. Here is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills and Steve Bozell. Ted, how you doing?
I was just going to say, Phil, there you are talking about talk radio and how much you dislike it, and all I've been hearing you talk about here is this government shutdown and Obamacare. Anyway, it's Ted Bell here along with Steve Bozell, and we're looking forward to getting back to the game of the week this week. We had an interesting weekend of football. I got to tell you, what happened to the New York Giants? 0-4, they're lousy, they're getting lousier. Tom Coughlin, you know, you wanna be a little more mature about these things and say, Steve Bozell, let's not fire the head coach, but maybe the time has come.
I've often said that Tom Coughlin, I think, is a guy lucked into a couple of when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, though he had a pretty good team. I mean, he took the Jacksonville Jaguars to the playoffs of the National Football League in like a fourth or fifth year of their or the sixth year of their existence or whatever it was. And so you say, well, that was good. Now he comes out here with the New York Giants and won a Super Bowl with them, and now they're 0-4. And I heard it said that may very well be true. Let me have the phone back because you took too much time. A lot of it.
What is that?
Hold on. What? What?
What is that?
He always grabs the phone for me. He says, I take too much time. Well, he did. He took too much time there. I said, you're allotted a certain amount of time, and then I talk. You know?
Well, why don't you? That's a real sloppy way of doing things, man. The audience thinks you guys hate each other.
I don't hate him. I'm just saying, don't take so much time.
I did not. Oh, I'm trying to get the point out that I wanted to make. I can't make the words come out the way I want them to.
See, that's what he always says. He can't make the words come out the way he wants. That's not my problem. That's not my problem, you know? And
one of the things on this show that drags it down constantly, okay?
Oh, here we go.
Well, what does that mean, here we go?
Are you going to do a whole speech or something? That's what he's going to do.
That's exactly what I'm doing. One of the things in this program that makes it worse than a lot of shows is this constant arguing between guests, between myself and guests, guests with each other, guests with the panel, guests with themselves, guests with somebody off of mic. I mean, forget about what you told Steve Bozell. Let me direct this thing, okay?
That's what I told him. I said he's going to be the guy. Going to be the guy.
Yeah, what restaurant are we in right now? We're at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm not saying that I want you not to be a part of it, Phil. I'm not saying I want to run your show. I'm just saying, all right, go ahead, you know.
Well, go ahead what?
I'm telling Bozell. Go ahead, Bozell.
Would you mind calling me Steve?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, Steve, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ted. I'm trying to get the words out. I'm trying to get out the words the way I want them to be.
You hear what I mean? You see what I'm... Never mind.
Just let me finish, okay? This past weekend, we've seen the New York Giants, Phil, I think, finally show themselves for what they are, a football team that has relied on the same playbook that took them all the way to the World's Championship. The same playbook saw them beat the New England Patriots. A lot of the same personnel, as a matter of fact. Same kind of execution. The same kind of plays, the same kind of defense, good quality players. Only one little teeny weeny problem, and that is, guess what? The rest of the league's caught up with them. Ted Bell.
Well, I can't say that I agree 100% with that. I think you make a good point. I think what's wrong with the New York Giants is the fact that they need new plays. I think the players are good.
That's exactly what I just said.
No, you didn't. You said that you thought the players stunk.
I did not say that.
No, he said that he felt this is the same football team that beat the New England Patriots, the same plays, the same players, the same offense, the same defense, but the league has caught up with them.
All right, well, can I now say what I want to say?
God. Go ahead, just don't tell me what I've done said.
What you done said. Here's what I believe. I think the New York Giants under Tom Coughlin are a capable football team. Are you trying to tell me Eli Manning's not a good quarterback? No, I don't think you are. Are you trying to tell me that this is a football team with Victor Cruz, the weapons that this guy's got, the defensive football team that they have? Are you trying to tell me that these guys... No, I think they're great. The only thing that's wrong with the New York Giants
is the head coach. They need a new coach who will put in new plays. Now,
well, that's so they need new plays.
Yes, they need new plays, but they need a new coach to do the new plays, as opposed to what Steve said, which is new plays, but keep the coach.
I didn't even say they need new plays. I said, and I didn't even say they need new coaches.
Well, then what did you say? Just keep everything the same?
I think they ought to just keep everything the same, and everyone will, maybe they'll get worse, you know?
Well, how's that going to happen if they figured out the New York Giants' offense and defense, all of a sudden they figured it out, and now they haven't figured it out?
Now, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I think that, are you trying to tell me that if they stay the way they are, that teams won't just get tired of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's the key phrase, I don't know. I think, Phil, what you're saying is this. You know, the ball club needs some freshening up. I don't think necessarily do they need a new coach. I think they do. Maybe you don't think they do. They definitely, I think, need some help on the offensive, defensive side of the football coaching. I do believe they need a little bit more speed on the outside. I think they do need a better pass rush. I think they probably could use another quarterback.
What are you talking about, another quarterback?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Who's their quarterback?
Eli Manning.
No, they can keep that one. I'm just saying that I think their personnel changes in some key areas, okay, is what I'm talking about.
All right, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell with us here as we talk about the week past here, the weekend past in the National Football League. We were just talking about the New York Giants, a football team that's an interesting case in point. This is a ball club that was a Super Bowl winning football team not too long ago. They're 0-4 starting the season. My God, Carolina handed them their lunch last week. This past weekend, another horrific loss suffered by the New York Giants. So this is a football team to keep an eye on, and maybe there is a passing of the torch there in New York. 855-500-7445 is our number. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Ted Bell and Steve Bozell on the line with us here as we discuss the weekend past in football. So, let's see, we saw the Rams. The Rams are getting their asses handed to them. The Cowboys, big, big winners. The Dolphins, do we know what the score is in the game tonight? Any of you guys know?
I'm supposed to look at it. We'll check it out.
All right, well, the Dolphins are playing this evening as well. And who are they playing tonight? Who knows, you know?
Bill, you're asking us to ask. We do one game a week, and we didn't do a game this past weekend, so we don't know. And it's really not important who's playing. It doesn't even matter the name of the league. You know, it doesn't even matter the team names. We're talking football. Okay, it could be called the National Ass League. Excuse my language.
Yeah, would you watch that, please?
Good saying, Phil. If you don't mind me, Ted, just
go ahead. Don't ruin it.
What do you mean, don't ruin it?
Well, if you're going to continue my thought, make sure it's.
Don't worry about it. I think what Ted's saying, Phil, is that football is football, and it doesn't matter if the team is all 5'2". It doesn't matter if they're all women. It doesn't matter if they're all infants.
Infants.
Well, I mean,
but what he's trying to say, what Steve is saying in a very inelegant way, Phil, is that football will always be a game of blocking and tackling. Blocking and tackling. I think that if you take a team, and you know, Steve said infants, and that's ridiculous, of course. I mean, but let's say you had a team of 4-year-old children. Let's say you had a team of elderly people. And that's about as extreme as it gets. Would you agree with that, Phil?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
If you had a team of 70-year-old females, and they're playing football, and they're playing tackle football, and they are forced to hit under penalty of death, I guess.
Well, what are you talking about now?
He's trying to make a point, Phil.
Yeah, but what do you mean under penalty of death?
What I'm saying is, if you had a bunch of 70-year-old females playing football, and they had to hit, and they had to stick, okay?
You're looking at a game of football. You're looking at a game of football. You're looking at people, and it's all about blocking and tackling. The same thing as if you had a game if you had infant ball, which Steve had actually written that down as a possible, just not a replacement, but as another kind of permutation of football.
What's it called?
It was infant ball, right, Steve?
Yeah, well, we were going to have baby ball, not baby ball, but we want to call baby ball is what was the working title of it.
Right.
And this would be football played with little tiny people or little children. Now, I know it sounds like a joke, and we don't mean it to be a joke. What we're trying to do is take the game of football and move it into whole other areas of life where everyone can enjoy it, no matter who, no matter where you go. And when baby ball was first looked at by Tom Brockley and Terry Jobe, they wanted to start a spring league.
And a spring league?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, we had to hold on, Bill, because they had interest from ABC. You know, ABC was the guy. Those are the guys that covered the USFL. A spring league for baby ball. Not baby ball. What was it?
The infant league.
The National Infant League. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous. To the point where I don't even think you guys are serious.
No, honest to God, tell them about, we had the rules laid out. Now, yeah, it was going to be, you're not going to play it in big stadiums. We were going to play it in parks, and
you got television interest, huh?
There was some interest from ABC and some of the other networks, because they hadn't got anything to show in the spring. But the whole point is, it blocking and tackling. That's what I said to Dave Dugan, who had one of the franchises. I forget what it was, New Orleans Drool or something like that. It was a ridiculous name.
What was the name of the team?
It was one of the first franchises, the New Orleans Drool.
Yeah.
And
the New Orleans Drool. You guys are kidding, right? You're kidding, right? I mean, this is a gag, right?
No, we're not kidding. I thought the league didn't take off, but we're not kidding. The New Orleans Drool, Dave Kopak, who was the head coach, said to me,
the head coach of the New Orleans Drool and their four-year-old kids.
I didn't say four. I said it was going to be baby ball. Okay.
Well, whatever constitutes baby ball, whatever the limit there is. The National Infant League, was that it?
No, it was not the National Infant League. God Almighty, it's called infant ball. The National Baby Boop. What is it? Was it a B?
Yeah. National Baby Boo Boo League.
Get out of here.
Wait a minute, I swear to God.
Well, you knew that they were yanking your chain, didn't you?
Yeah, you kept about the National Boo Boo League.
What? What did you just say?
Yeah, man, slow down, man. I said, didn't you know it was a joke when he said a National Boo Boo League?
Yes, that's when I hung up, you'll notice.
I mean, I knew it was a joke when they said that New Orleans Drool, was that the team?
Yeah, and it's all about blocking and tackling. Yes, it is. That's true. No matter what, football is about blocking and tackling, as the great one himself said, Vince Lombardi. Grab, grab, grab. Everybody grab it out there. Nobody tackling. Grab, grab, grab.
What is that?
That's a very famous Vince Lombardi clip.
Yeah, they showed him on a Super Bowl.
Well, I don't... Was it the Super Bowl?
One of those games goes, grab, grab, grab. Everybody playing grab ass out there.
He doesn't say grab ass.
Well, he does.
No, he doesn't. It was Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi was a very religious man. He had a very clean mouth. He was a guy that... No.
Well, he was Catholic, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Vince Lombardi was Catholic, and he wasn't a slob. I mean, he got angry at people, but he didn't use vulgarities.
Well, I mean, but he said, go grab ass.
He didn't say grab ass. He didn't say that at all. You know, between you and these asses with the National Drooler League or whatever that thing was...
No, it's called Baby League.
It was the National Boo Boo League, which I thought was... I knew right then and there was a joke.
Well, yeah. Between them and these guys with the grab, 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 grab ass, Vince Lombardi never said grab ass. He said, grab, 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 everybody grabbing out there, nobody tackling. What he was saying was that no one was... tackling. No one was using the form, and no one was using the technique, and no one was you know, involved in that part of the art of football called the tackle. And there's a specific way of doing that. And blocking, too. These guys were grabbing. So, thank you very much, Steve Bozell and Ted Bell, for that just marvelous assessment of this past weekend. National Boo Boo League.
Now, everybody is asking me about the book that you're reading, and as you know, a lot of people like to know what you read so that they can read it too, and somehow they think that's going to help. I don't know. I'm not putting down what you read, Phil, but a lot of the things you read is, it's very bizarre. I find a lot of it very boring.
I read a lot of history.
Yes, and the history is boring.
Yeah, you gotta figure out history's gonna be boring.
Oh, well, I don't care if history's boring. Boring to who?
Boring to a lot of people listening.
I don't give a damn. What do you think I care? If it's boring to the people that are listening, it's boring to the people. You don't have to read what I'm reading. The book that I'm reading right now that Margaret was talking, I was talking about it before the show, and I picked this up in the airport, which is what one will do. And one of the things, and I don't want to make a big thing out of this, okay? It's not, I'm not complaining. But I think now it's probably fair to say that when you get on an airplane, isn't it sort of expected that you're going to find some kind of an AC plug to plug in the...
Well, Phil, you're up in first class, okay?
Yeah, you're all in first class and stuff.
What do you mean I'm up in first class?
That's what you said.
Okay, so what?
Well, they don't have that in coach.
Wait, hold on for a minute. The smartphone... The iPad, the tablet, are you kidding me or what, man? This is about as commonplace a thing as there is in this world. People are using these. Now, either you have an AC, and a lot of the aircraft today have some place to plug these units in. Now I understand not all of them. And I flew on two of them this past weekend, operated by Delta Airlines. I don't want to mention the airline.
Well, you just did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you said Delta.
Is it? In any event, nothing against you, Delta. You just, you know. But so, you know, what I'm going to do, rather than scream and yell and complain about it, I don't give a damn. I'll just get one of those big battery packs that lasts for 6 hours and be done with it.
Yeah, bet you ought to do that and get a battery pack.
That's what I'm going to do. I'll get a battery pack.
Lasts for 6 hours.
Yes, it lasts for 6 hours.
Get a battery pack that lasts for 6 hours.
I know it. So I'm getting a battery pack that lasts for 6 hours. I'm going to get one of those. But nonetheless, I didn't have it this weekend. I had my charger. I had my phone. That's what I take. I got a little Kindle app on my phone, and a lot of times I just have some books on there. But, you know, I've run out of juice before on the phone because I've found myself on board aircraft, what have you. They don't have a charger. There's no place to charge the phone. So I decide I wind up buying a book. Because I do not want to be without something to read, something to do. I don't know how. It's the craziest thing. When I first started flying years and years and years ago as a teenager, I didn't bring anything with me. The whole idea and the concept and the excitement of flying was enough for me. I'd just sit there in the plane and look out the window and just, ooh, you know.
Did you get scared?
Yeah, I bet you got scared every time there was the turbulence.
Sure I did. Who doesn't? Who doesn't get scared when the turbulence hits for the first time?
Do you get scared now?
No, not really, you know.
Well, what about if it's really bad? What if people scream?
Yeah, what if somebody screams and flies through the cabin? And
will you shut up? I haven't been on a plane yet where that happens, okay? No, we haven't had that kind of turbulence. But nonetheless, I'll bring a book with me now because who knows whether I'm going to be able to charge the phone. And I picked up this book, Zealot, and it's not a religious book. It's a history book. It's called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth.
That same guy?
The same guy as who?
Same guy,
Yes, that's the same one as the religion.
Yes, it is. What, are you kidding?
Well, Phil, you said Jesus of Nazareth, didn't you?
You don't know who that is!
I know a Jesus of Bethlehem.
Yeah, that's the guy that everyone follows.
Well, this is the same guy. Jesus of Nazareth is the guy, not the guy from Bethlehem, because guess what? According to this book, he wasn't born in Bethlehem. Now, before I get into trouble with all this stuff I'm going to say, I just want you to know, it's a book of history. It's not written with an ideology in mind.
Yeah, but the guy who wrote the book, it looked like I got a Muslim name. Yeah, he's got an Iranian name.
Reza Aslan wrote it, and yes, he was born into a Muslim family. He became a Christian as a teenager. He's an American. He lives in New York and Los Angeles. He's a historian. He's a scholar. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing like that. All right, we'll be back here in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. I really suggest you get a backstage pass and join us, not only for the live videocasts of our show, not only for the podcast of this show that will appear on site tomorrow, but also our daily classic podcast, 5,000 hours of full show audio and more, along with Ted and Steve's Game of the Week. They'll be back. Boo Boo Ball.
They're back when?
They'll be back on Sunday with the Game of the Week at PhilHenryShow.com. Whoa. Did we jump the gun there? Sorry. Welcome back to Phil Henry Show.
Woo!
And PhilHenryShow.com here from the El Pacifico. Great to be back with you guys. So the Senate has killed House amendments on government funding bill. The House passed that bill that would delay Obamacare for a year, which you knew that they would, but then the Senate murdered it, killed it in the cradle, just put a bullet right through it. Well, I shouldn't.
No, you're talking. Don't use the infant analogy.
A minute ago, we were talking about drool ball.
Yeah, talking about boo-boo ball.
We're not talking about boo-boo ball now.
Well, I'm just telling you. How often do we hear the analogy, killed it in the cradle? Or, you know, we strangled it in the cradle. That's what they did. So the House, here's what happened, folks, just in case, you know. The House passed this bill that would delay Obamacare for a year and that would delay the tax on medical devices that would help pay for Obamacare. And that would ensure paying military personnel, but would shut down the rest of government with the odd, you know, I think there's NASA engineers would stay in place because we have, for instance, astronauts on the space station, things like that. The Senate defeated that, or will defeat it. I guess they have defeated it. I think that's what it said. And so what you got, or maybe the Senate is still voting on that. In any event, what you have here, therefore, is that the Obamacare will not be delayed. On October the 1st, which is coming up here in a few seconds, Obamacare will be available to people who want it. They can go to the insurance exchange. They can access, in other words, quote-unquote, affordable health care. So the House Tea Party did the following thing. They've shut government down. There's a bunch of people who won't get paid. There's a bunch of people that, you know, because they're government workers in the eyes of the Tea Party, they're scum. They're the scum of the earth. Even though these Tea Party asses in the Congress, they're the same. They're government workers, last I checked. So they've shut down aspects of the government. Obamacare is still forging ahead. What? What happened?
Well, I think in their minds, they have made a philosophical point.
So in other words, they're out there and they're jumping up and down and playing with themselves and feeling good, and that's about it, right?
Not playing with themselves. Look, I'm not a conservative, Phil, and it would be better if you got on Vernon Dozier. I know you talked to Larry Grover earlier.
Talked to Larry earlier? This guy wants to kill his mother. Talk about death panels. Larry wants his mother to go without health insurance. You know, if it means that it's mandated, he'd rather she die. Let's get over here to Vernon Dozier, and Vernon is at Belmar Academy. He teaches social sciences there. He is, as well, the head football coach up at Belmar Academy, and he's on our newsmaker line here this evening. We're going to talk to him about the nature of this. Turn off the surf music, but I don't think, I think in the words of Jimi Hendrix, we should not hear surf music again, given what's been going on. Vernon, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil, and I think that what you just laid out there, I think is very unfair. What is...
All right, well, what's unfair about it?
Well, what's happening is that there is a contingent of House Tea Party personnel that have made a very strong statement, which is this far and no farther. Now, tomorrow, people have got to remember that. And if you're going to go down tomorrow and sign up for health insurance after what you just saw this House of Representatives do, I think it's going to take some guts. I think it'll take a lot of guts. And that's what the House did. Now, right now, I'm out on a runway at LAX. You can hear the jets going in and out of here. I've got people that are going to be heading back to Washington. I got people flying out to different parts of the country. And they're going to be going and talking to people that are going to be signing up for Obamacare and saying, do you understand what the House just did?
Wait, hold on for a minute. What did the House just do that's going to affect anything having to do with people who want Obamacare?
What they just did is they said, we vote to delay it for a year. We don't want it. Now, are you going to go out knowing how strongly the House of Representatives feels and how strongly the Tea Party feels? Are you going to go out tomorrow and you're still going to go get Obamacare?
Yeah, if I want it, if I need it.
But no, but do you need it? Look, you can hear right now, I'm on the tarmac at LAX. We've got private jets taking off every 4 minutes of people flying out of here to talk to different folks from around the country. Now, I'm going to ask you again.
Just a question.
What?
You got people flying out of there to different parts of the country to do what?
To talk to people that are going to sign up for Obamacare and remind them that there's a whole House of Representatives that said, no, you won't. Okay?
That's got nothing to do with the people that want Obamacare. It's got nothing to do with people that want to sign up for health care. Those people are going to go get health care.
Well, hold on for a minute. They're going to go get health care. But they need to be reminded that this Congress just said, no, we don't want it. We won't have it this far and no further. And
what does that mean, this far and no further? What is that?
That's a very good question, Vernon. Is that some kind of theatrics?
No, that is not theatrics. No, ma'am, it is not theatrics. That is the United States House of Representatives, the Tea Party, and the Conservative Caucus and Coalition saying, we are not going to put up with the socialization. Okay, right there. That was Jack Swanson just took off. I saw his Lear just took off. He's on his way. We've got people that are on their way. And
where are they going?
I said they're flying to different cities to talk to people that are going to sign up for Obamacare. There goes another jet. All right, that's Sarah Dudley. She's going out with her husband right now. How you doing, Sarah? I just saw her. She waved out the window.
You're standing on a runway at LAX.
Yes.
And you're looking at people taking off in private jets, flying all over the country to talk to people that are going to sign up for Obamacare, and they're going to say what?
I'll say it again. They're going to tell them that the United States Congress just voted to keep Obamacare from infecting this country like an oozing, running, syphilitic sore. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
All right, hold the line.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, we'll get back here with Vernon Dozier as we continue talking about. And when we do come back from this break, folks, it will be a United States with a government that's at least partially shut down. That's right. A few minutes before the midnight hour on the East Coast, a few minutes before the 9 o'clock hour here on the El Pacifico, and what everybody says is going to happen, going to happen. We'll find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier will be right back with us as well.
I'm telling you right now. I just saw it. There goes Dave Dugan. He just flew out in his own private jet. What do you think of that?
I don't care. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 on to El Pacifico. The Phil Hendry Show here with me, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. And we're online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video cast each and every night. We also have a video cast archive, so you can watch this thing not once, not twice. You can watch it as many times as you want. That's just, if that's what guns your engine, that's beautiful. You can also listen to our classic podcast, 5,000 hours of 5,000. I can't believe I've done 5,000. And that's just the last 12 to 15 years.
What is?
5,000 hours of radio. That's just the last 12 to 15 years. In 23 years, I guess you could say we've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000. That can't be right. I think the math on that is completely off. We've probably done around 8,000 hours of radio just in the 23 years of this incarnation, the Phil Hendry Show. And by the way, I didn't say a hearty thank you to Armstrong and Getty for being on the show the other morning, because they were asking me about how long have you been doing this kind of show as opposed to a different kind of show. I said, man, I've done every kind of radio show there is. I've done music shows. I've done talk shows. I've gotten on the air and screamed into the microphone that I'm being violated by imaginary people. I've turned into werewolves. I have pretended that I was speaking Spanish, and in point of fact was speaking nothing even approaching that, and actually had people believing it. So we've done all kinds of things, and by and large, we're very proud of the swill we've done. All right. Vernon Dozier was on the line with us.
What do you mean, swill?
I mean, I'm just kidding about swell. All right, Vernon Dozier was on the line with us, and I believe is back on the line with us now. He's at Los Angeles International Airport. I thought he was somewhere closer to home there in Glendale. Vernon is a social sciences teacher at Belmar Academy. He's also the head football coach there. And there is the reality of Obamacare, Vernon. It exists. It's after midnight now on the East Coast. It is after midnight. It's October the 1st. Obamacare exists. People can go get it if they want. They can get affordable health care if they so desire. It exists. There it is. The only thing that the Tea Party has done is it has thrown a bunch of people out of work.
I think that is very, very wrong, and I think that is an example of you, Phil, and other members of the media trying to rob the Tea Party of a hard-fought victory here. We got the American people to see, and every time a jet takes off, I want to be very, very clear.
Let me just jump in and tell people that what you're hearing in the background are private jets taking off from LAX. You're out there on the tarmac.
That is correct, yes.
And these are private jets of individuals you know that are going around the country to talk to people who are going to access Obamacare to tell them what the House has done. What do you think it's going to go through people's minds when they hear that?
I think that the American people, once they are told that the House of Representatives voted against Obamacare, that they wanted to suspend it for a year, that they put their political lives on the line. And now you've got people lining up to go get Obamacare. I think when you tell people there are lives at stake, careers at stake, I think you're going to have people that are going to feel very poorly and very bad about that. And more to the point, Phil, I'm going to be out there myself. I'll be getting on a jet here in about a half an hour. I'm going out with Scott Drove and his wife, and we will be flying out to San Francisco tonight. And I will be talking to people lining up to get Obamacare, and I'll say to them, there are Congress people who said no to this, and you're still lining up for it? Let's talk about that.
And what do you anticipate they'll say to you?
I don't think they're going to say anything. I think they're going to listen. They'll listen to what I've got to say and other members of this caucus. And
what have you got to say?
And what have I got to say is the following thing. A lot of very hard-working people decided to shut the government down last night rather than allow this Obama nation, as opposed to abomination is what I was going to say, but we call it. Jerry Chance has just gone out. That's Jerry and his son. See you later, Jerry. I'm here, basically.
What are you waving to these people?
I'm waving as each jet takes off. I'm waving Godspeed. I put my clench my fists together and I say, success, Godspeed to all of you.
So a guy in a private jet lands in a town where people...
Hold on, there goes Sally Shrimp. See you later, Sally. And there's her husband. He's waving. I think it's a statement.
A guy in a private jet flies to a city and tells some guy that can't afford health insurance ordinarily, please don't do this because a lot of really well-meaning people shut the government down so that Obamacare would not happen, and now you're signing up for it. What am I going to say to a guy in a private jet talking to me that way?
Well, Phil, here's a newsflash for you. Nobody is flying their jet right down onto the street where these people are going to be going into the building. Wow. I mean... Do you think a guy's going to be getting out of a jet?
No, but I mean, I imagine that people are going to be familiar with who they're talking to.
Yes, they're going to be talking to some very successful people. they're going to be talking to very successful people. And these successful people will say, Obamacare, it has been put on hold, not really, but the Congress, the House of Representatives wanted it put on hold. So what are you doing?
Well, this is a kind of an intimidation that isn't going to work.
No, it's not intimidation.
Yeah, it is. You're going to walk up to people and say, hey, look at all these guys that did this and did that, and why are you still here? That's not going to work. We've heard this before. You got people that are flying out of town on private jets. Why aren't they flying commercial?
Look, this is not a bunch of people that are ashamed of their money, Phil. They're going to go out and show people why they've got money. And yes, they're on those jets enjoying a cocktail. Maybe for the first time in over a year, they're sitting down with their wives or their husbands, and they're enjoying a cocktail. As if that is a mortal sin, as if that's a federal offense, a capital crime. They're enjoying a cocktail, they're sitting down with their wives on their laps in private jets. Something they've earned, something that they deserve, and they are flying to cities to try to remind the American people of their manhood in keeping this law from taking place. And if a man can't have a mixed drink and have his wife on his lap, look out the window and wave to me, I don't know what we've become as a country. I don't know what we've become. We must be a country. We're not a country of people anymore. We're a country of freaks. And
I really just am getting a kick out of the image of that. A guy with his wife sitting on his lap as they're having a couple of mixed drinks. They're flying off to remind people of their duty to a bunch of Tea Party people in the Congress who stood up to the Obama bill. So why sign up for Obamacare? That's essentially what this is, right?
Well, you have a way of putting things that make it sound that make things sound about as appetizing as a turd sandwich. That's what you just did there. There's more to it than just that.
No, I mean, that's what you said. I mean...
No, that's not what I said. Yeah, there's a guy with his wife on his lap. The bill has been signed. The military will be paid. What is this? Obama's paying the military?
Yes, President Obama has signed a bill paying the military despite the shutdown. Okay.
So where did he get that idea?
What do you mean, where did he get that idea? He's the commander-in-chief.
Why is he paying... The government is supposed to shut down, I thought.
Hold on for just a minute. I can't wait to talk to you on the other side of this.
No. Before you take your break, isn't the government supposed to shut down?
That's... I don't know. Yeah.
Then why are these guys... I understand they're troops. And God knows we love our... and support... Why are they being paid? I don't understand that. That's money.
Because they're troops. Because we need them out there on the wall, in the words of Jack Nicholson in For a Few Good Men. You need me on that wall. And they're out there, and they're protecting our country, and they're serving, and they're doing their thing. And God bless them. And yeah, so the president has signed a bill that would pay them. And that is obviously money that comes directly from the United States Treasury. That is not something that Congress has to appropriate. That is not something that Congress has to appropriate.
Well, what do you mean?
In other words, the Congress of the United States, which has decided that they're going to shut the government down, or at least the Congress of the United States has decided they're going to shut the government down, so the money that those jackasses in Congress ordinarily vote to appropriate for a variety of things is not happening. The president has authorized money be released to troops so they're paid. Now, the only money that the president of the United States can authorize... releasing is money directly from, I think, discretionary money from the executive branch. It might be the U.S. Treasury. There may be some money there. There may be some money in the Department of Defense. I don't know. We'll just have to see. All right, we'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with some more of this marvelousness as we continue to take a look at I think we probably have done all we can possibly do in terms of looking at whether the government is shutting down or isn't shutting down or has shut down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what more?
Well, it is shut down.
Whatever. It's shut down. It ain't shut down. But, you know, that's... I hope it stays shut down. How about that? I'll tell you what they ought to shut down. They ought to shut the Congress down. How about that? Why don't they shut all you guys that want the government shut down, Why don't you guys take a hike? Go home. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, Breaking Bad, it's last night on the air. Last night, Walter White's final moments on the air captivated viewers Sunday, setting a new ratings record for Breaking Bad, though not for AMC. Not for AMC. The final 75-minute episode averaged 10.3 million viewers, according to preliminary Nielsen estimates, up sharply from last week's 6.6 million. Understand, for cable television, that's an amazing amount of people. Now, as you know, in over-the-air terms, over-the-air broadcast being what we would traditionally call the old VHF stations or the networks, generally these are far more prevalent. The channels are far more accessible as cable still in this day and age, some, 30-plus years after cable became a reality, let's say, that eventually every home in America would either have or would want to have or would at least have heard of, it's still not as viewed as the traditional channels, where you're going to get 20 million, 30 million viewers sometimes for a television program. But for a cable show, 10.3 million, this is up from last week's show that had 6.6 million viewers. And more than two-thirds of those viewers were in the sweet spot, as they call it, of adults aged 18 to 49. And that is the money demo, favored by advertisers. It was the most watched series finale ever on basic cable, though HBO's The Sopranos and Sex and the City had bigger send-offs. So when we say basic cable, we're talking about a non-subscription service. HBO is a subscription channel. It's a premium channel. And that's going to be interesting because Sopranos on a subscription channel, a premium channel, Sex and the City on HBO, a premium channel, subscription channel, had more people watching than a free basic cable channel, which is AMC. What does any of this mean? I have no idea, but it's kind of interesting, you know.
Well, I think what it means is that no one watches AMC. That's what I think it means.
No one watches AMC. That's an interesting.
Well, why would a premium channel like HBO get more people to watch one of their shows than a free channel like AMC?
Yeah, because Breaking Bad's not as good as Soprano.
Will you speak English, man? Come on.
What are you talking about? Breaking Bad's not as good as Soprano.
Well, I personally don't agree with that. I think Breaking Bad is a far superior program. Nonetheless.
All right, well, Breaking Bad has had the same buzz, the same passion, the same interest, I would say, as to a degree as Sopranos. Sopranos was a little bit more engaging because the characters, even though they were mafia, or if you will, gangsters, mafiosa, organized criminals, you know, members of the crime, they were a far more engaging lot. Breaking Bad is a much darker experience than Sopranos. Violent though Sopranos may have been, sad though it may have been, and unbelievably macabre at times, I don't think it was ever quite got as dark as Breaking Bad. I don't know. The sharply higher audiences, last fall's finale averaged just 2.8 million, suggests millions of fans caught up on the series through Netflix or DVDs. Now, this is something else that's happening. It's called on-demand viewing. And there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people, including our technical director tonight, Matt, who are going to be catching up on this by way of Netflix or DVD or some other on-demand platform. Okay.
Why do you call it a platform? Is that some big shot?
No, it ain't big shot.
No, that's what they call it.
Well, what do you mean platform?
Platform. A different mode of accessing content. A different mode of accessing content. A phone, a tablet, a computer, And then, of course, you have over-the-air network. You have website, webisode streaming. You have Netflix, and so on and so forth. Now, other records, the episode drew 1.24 million tweets, its most ever, and easily enough to top a weekly ranking by Nielsen's Social Guide. And Facebook reports 3 million users generated 5.5 million interactions. But the audience was far from a record for the network. It was far from a record for AMC. At least 13 episodes of the zombie drama The Walking Dead have exceeded that total audience, peaking at 12.4 million in same-day viewing last March. Numbers for both shows climb once DVR-delayed viewership is counted. Very interesting. In a statement, AMC president Charlie Collier credited creator Vince Gilligan, who really only ever asked for one thing, the opportunity to end the show on his own terms. That's exactly what we did last night, and as always, brilliantly so. We're proud that AMC will forever be known as the birthplace and home of this iconic show, and at the same time, we tip our Heisenberg hat to the fans who made this a truly shared experience. Elsewhere on cable, Showtime's Homeland returned, blah, 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 a bunch of crap.
Well, what do you mean a bunch of crap? I like Homeland.
Well, I'm just... I don't give a crap about Homeland. I'm talking about Breaking Bad, so there you go. So the viewing habits of people are changing. The listening habits of people have changed. We were just talking about this during the break. We're going to be at the Podcast Festival on Saturday. We're going to be with Bobby Dooley for the L.A. Podcast Festival. Bobby will be conducting one of her record-breaking interviews, so it goes, man. I mean, things are changing, and either you know and are catching up with it yourself, or you're left standing there holding, trying to hold the ass end of your pants together.
Well, that is a very crude way of putting it.
Well, that's just what it is. That's what it is. So that's the reality. Not to get too much into the whole inside baseball stuff, but that's what we've been talking about. You know, it's a new world, baby. It's a new world, and either you're on it, or you're just sort of running alongside the car there. Dancing with the Stars episode recap. Oh no, not that. And then of course we have Miley Cyrus. I don't know really what's up with her, other than the fact that everybody's been talking about her nonstop. So I think she did her job. Plus the Justin Timberlake album is out. How do I know that? Because Barry Louise downloaded it this weekend and was listening to it. She loves it. That cat, man, he is top. Talk about a guy that is big with women. Justin Timberlake, believe it or not. I said, why? He says, because he dances well. All right, so here's the final. Exactly a year ago, the Saints lost to the Packers to fall 0-4. 1 year ago, Coach Sean Payton had been suspended for the 2012 season for his role in the bounty scandal. The ramifications couldn't be more obvious. This was a rudderless team without its leader. On Monday night, the Saints cruised to a 38-17 win over the previously undefeated Dolphins. And as September gives way to October, this reinvigorated group has all but wrapped up the NFC South title. Are you ready for that? They're 4-0, 2-0 in the division. The rest of the South looks like this. Panthers 1-2, Buccaneers 0-4, Falcons 1-3. The Saints are kicking ass, and we haven't even started October. Yes, there's 4 months of football left, and yes, the Saints travel to Chicago and New England the next 2 weeks, but even if they drop those two games, who's going to make a move in the division to challenge them? So things is definitely, things is changing all over, man. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here on this, is this Monday? Yeah, it's Monday. I swear to God, man, we'll crawl into it, climb into it, whatever we got to do. Woo! We'll be right back.
Talk about that guy.
What did?
You're on the air.
Vernon.
Yeah, I'm still here. You guys hang up on me or what?
Yeah, we did hang up on you. Still there?
Yeah.
Well, you can hang up now.
What do you mean I can hang up?
I said you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show here. And I can't avoid it. You know, there's nothing I can do. I mean, I got people, I don't know. It's like, there's been, I don't know how many years of talk radio in this country, and people are still pretty just as, you know, like not clued in as they always are. I mean, I can't get away from it. The same dumbasses. I got some dumbasses on Facebook asking me, you know, what's this Obamacare all about? Well, it's only been around for about, 6 years now. What are you asking me for? What's it about? I mean, what is this? You know, get up off your dead ass, turn your football game off, and take a look at what's going on, okay? Half the people at... You know, if you're asking me, if forcing me into an opinion, I'll give you an opinion. I know what my opinion is. So, here's the latest news on this stuff. You know, the government is shut down, and a flurry of last-minute moves by the House, Senate, and White House late Monday failed to break a bitter budget standoff over President Obama's health care law, setting in motion the first government shutdown in nearly two decades. Whatever. The impasse meant that 800,000 federal workers were to be furloughed and more than a million others would be asked to work. You know what the average guy says to that? Hey, good, you know, they work for the government, okay. But if it was his lazy ass being thrown out of a job, he might have something to say about it. The Office of Management and Budget issued orders that agencies should now execute plans for an orderly shutdown due to the absence of appropriations because Congress had failed to act to keep the federal government financed. After a series of rapid-fire back-and-forth legislative maneuvers, the House and Senate ended the day with no resolution, and the Senate halted business until later Tuesday. Now, I don't know whether you are interested or not. Maybe you aren't, but there was a CNN poll that showed people are 60% wanted the government to keep going as opposed to shutting Obamacare down. See, I don't think that people are aware of the fact, as crazy as it may sound to a lot of folks, Obamacare is not as unpopular as some people want you to believe that it is. Now, there's a whole lot of really loud Tea Party people, and when they get together with each other, you'd swear to God they think they run the whole world, but those guys are actually in the minority, believe it or not. So, it's a lot of guys in the Tea Party that wanted to kill Obamacare. They didn't do that. They're shutting the government down. They got to do that. And I don't see how these guys come out of this thing looking good, but who knows, you know? Because if you hang around Facebook long enough...
Well, what are you doing over on Facebook? You said there's nothing but idiots over there.
Facebook, I've got to be on Facebook, because it's, like I said, it's part of the social network of things that you got to do, you know. But the lady actually messaged me, because I was in Washington. She said, talk to President Obama and tell him that we must compromise now. And I just don't... I mean, I blocked her. That's how pissed off I was.
You blocked her.
I blocked her. Somebody sent me a message like that, and I just blocked her. You know, as like I said, as long as people want my opinion on this stuff, I'll give it to you. 57 minutes later, with almost no debate, the Senate killed the House health care provision and sent the stopgap spending bill right back free of policy prescriptions. So that's what was going to happen. So all they did was they sent this bill to the Senate, and it said, we're not going to have Obamacare for a year, and we're going to make sure that it's not paid for by way of this tax, and we made our point, and aren't you proud of us, and aren't we cool, and whatever, because you did not do what you wanted to do, and the bill went right back up your you-know-what, and Obamacare is the law of the land as of today, and people can go and get insurance as of today, and the government's been shut down. What are you talking about? Mr. Reed, Harry Reid, said that the House Republicans had lost their minds before disposing of the House bill. They keep trying to do the same thing over and over again. The federal government was then left essentially to run out of money at midnight, the end of the fiscal year. Although the president signed a measure late Monday that would allow members of the military to continue to be paid. You don't get to extract a ransom for doing your job, Mr. Obama said in the White House briefing room as the clock ticked to midnight. Obama called House Speaker John Boehner of Ohio, but they spoke for less than 10 minutes without any sign of progress. I tried to talk to the president tonight, the speaker said on the House floor. He summed up Mr. Obama's remarks as, I'm not going to negotiate. What's to negotiate, you dumbass? The bill got passed by both houses of Congress. Now you want to go back and you want to negotiate what? What do you want to negotiate, man, when the bill's been passed, the bill was signed, the bill was adjudicated constitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States of America? Now you want to go back and negotiate what? The House's most ardent conservatives were resigned to seeing through their war on the health care law to its inevitable conclusion, a shutdown that could test voters' patience with Republican brinksmanship. Cracks in the party were opening into fissures of frustration. You have this group that keeps saying, somehow, if you're not with them, you're for Obamacare, said Representative Devin Nunes, Republican of California. If you're not with exactly their plan, exactly what they want to do, then you're somehow for Obamacare, and it's just getting a little old. Yeah, they're very, first of all, they sound like a bunch of very inexperienced people. They don't sound like they have any experience at all when it comes to governing. They believe that they're a part of a movement, you know, that's really going to take over America. The Tea Party has gotten louder and smaller. It used to be a party, it used to be a part of the political movement, the conservative political movement in this country, that you could have imagined was going to maybe do something, you know, it was going to maybe grow into a significant movement. And it actually got smaller, it shrunk. But as it shrunk, it got louder. So they became fewer and louder and dumber.
Well, you got that right.
So anyway, it was far from certain that Republicans could remain unified on their insistence on health care concessions if a shutdown lasted for some time. Asked whether Republicans could hold together through the end of the week, Representative Phil Gingrey, not Gingrich, Gingrey of Georgia, one of the more conservative members, answered, "I don't know." Earlier Monday, the government... See, these guys are hoping, I guess, that if the government shuts down long enough that there will be a concession on health care. Like, what? Obama, there's no way. Earlier Monday, the Senate voted 54 to 46 along party lines to kill the previous House plan immediately after ending a week-long break. Senators then sent the House a bill to finance the government through November the 15th without policy prescriptions. House leaders would have none of it, again demanding a significant hit to the health law as a price for keeping the government open. Well, now they just don't like that health law because that's socialism, man, and that is that they just can't have that. They're very proud of themselves. They're smiling. They're laughing. They think it's fantastic. They're digging it. They're high-fiving. And that means that they're going to go back to their respective districts and probably not have to pay for the oral sex that ordinarily they do have to pay for. And that probably includes Michelle Bachmann.
God, you didn't get in trouble for that.
Phil, that is a woman. How dare you?
I'm sorry. It just pisses me off.
They're not going to have to pay for the orals?
Whatever these guys, what are they getting out of this, man? They're going to go back to their home districts and for the first time in many years not have to pay for sex because they were able...
And you think that's... Excuse me, I had to belch. I'm sorry.
You belched out of protest?
Yes.
You belched out of protest?
Yes. Look, I don't like Michelle Bachmann any more than you do, but for you to say that she pays for oral sex, even if she is married to that, I'm not going to go into a lot of gay bashing.
I'm not gay bashing? How am I gay bashing?
What do you mean gay bashing? Because she's married to a gay guy?
You don't know that that's true. This guy, Culberson of Texas, said, I said, like 9/11, let's roll. Oh, man, what a bozo. Woo!
Why is that bozo?
I mean, come on, man. That's one of the most sacred, if you will, sacred, poignant, meaningful moments in the history, in the long, sometimes agonized history of our country. And that guy appropriated it for his stupid, silly little ass Tea Party vote? 9/11, let's roll? Oh, boy, that guy deserves to have a big bucket of cow manure just parked right on his head. Somebody ought to just take a big bucket of soft, warm, freshly dumped cow dung and just...
All right, Phil, we get it.
Oh, man.
I'm serious. Just push it. Just press it down onto his head until it just oozes down, you know.
Would you please?
God. Eesh. Anyway, so that's the story, baby. That's the story, Morning Glory. Reid rejects negotiation on budget bill. Obama signs bill to ensure military will be paid. And so on and so forth. And there you have it, baby. Pelosi derides Tea Party shutdown. Not that she's my favorite. Not that she's my favorite girl at the dance. Just before midnight on Monday, when the government began to grind to a halt, House Democratic leaders expressed little optimism that Republicans would come to the bargaining table with a plan to avert or quickly end a government shutdown. I think what the speaker is doing is doubling and tripling down a path that was already intended to take us to shutting down the government. So she basically said that Boehner knew it was going to be a shutdown. He didn't do anything to change that. It was fine with him. He's cool with it. It's good. It's all good. They have wiggled this way and that. They've been very resourceful in how they come up with ways to shut down government because, as Harry Reid said, they don't believe in government. They're anti-government ideologues. She added, it's the Tea Party shutdown of government. Well, probably right, man. Probably right.
Well, it is exactly that, the Tea Party shutdown of government. And they've done a very good job. And I'll be shocked if any of them get one single solid... Well,
they'll get votes. Don't worry, they'll get votes. But like I said, and you didn't want me to say this, from now on, they pay for sex down there. What they've been getting for free... Oh, excuse me. From now on, they're getting it for free. They used to pay for it. That's what I mean.
All right. Down where?
Wherever they're from.
You've got that boxer.
Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back to conclude this blob of a night, man. Our number is 855-500-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here on this Monday night, the Phil Henry Show, till 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Been looking at the shutdown cam and all that jazz, so that's what this is. This night has been about. The other thing it's been about is the Tampa Bay Rays beating the Texas Rangers in a one-game playoff.
You tell the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, there's a lot of teams with T on the
I know, but I should know better. However, I've decided that... I can only be honest if I'm reporting these things in as fractured and as sloppy a way as I pay attention to them. So if I'm not really paying attention to baseball in my real life, why should I give you any real accurate reporting about it here on the show? I could care less, but I must at the same time report these things. So I say to you, Tampa Bay beat Toronto. Oh no, I'm sorry, Texas, 5-2.
Bud, team start with a T.
Shut up, man. You got to yell for Bud.
What?
What other teams? The turd. Well, no, I mean there's Toronto, Tampa, there's Texas, there's Tucson.
Tucson? No, that's not a team.
Tucson is.
It's a town.
It is a town, but it's also a team, but it's not a major league team. All right. So there you have that, and then we had the New Orleans Saints handing the Miami Dolphins their ass and more, just rolled over the Dolphins 38-something. I forget it was ugly. And the playoffs in baseball start tomorrow, actually tonight. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh on the 2nd. It's going to be that will be tomorrow night. It'll be the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Indians in the American League, and I guess that's is that a wild card thing? Are those the only teams? I don't know. So that's baseball, man. And then Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh and Cincy, and the winner of that takes on the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Championship. Am I right about that? And L.A. is taking on the whoever the hell this is. Who are the L.A. Dodgers taking on, man? Oh, the Atlanta Braves. And then you have Detroit and the A's and the Boston. All right, so those are all the teams.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? I'm saying that is what's happening in Major League Baseball. And by the way, we just had a freeze frame there. I don't know what happened, but occasionally we do get that And we'll have to look into that. We froze, some kind of a frame froze there on our video cast. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're online, as I mentioned, at philhendryshow.com. We are also, as I mentioned, at the L.A. Podcast coming up this weekend. Hope you can, the L.A. Podcast Festival coming up this weekend. Hope you can make it out for that. Bobby Dooley will be on stage with a very special guest, you know, giving her opinion on a variety of things. Go ahead, Al Hambry, on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I enjoy your program very much. Never miss it. And I'm calling in about the government shutdown of the United States government. The government is shutting itself down, which to me...
Can I ask you, do you have your TV on?
Yeah, TV.
What?
Do you have your TV on?
Yes, my wife...
Did say you listen to a show.
I was listening to the Phil Hendry Show, yes.
But do you have the TV on now?
I was listening to the Phil Hendry Show. What is on there? My wife is watching the television. I thought that that was your show. Is that...
I'm on the radio.
I know you're on the radio, Mr. Hendry, but the sound, I thought, was your program. And what is this, dear? This is Investigation Discovery.
So you weren't listening to my show?
I thought that I was listening to your show. I apologize.
Okay, so what can we do for you, sir?
Well, you were talking about sea lions, and I wanted to get back...
No, I wasn't talking about sea lions.
Well, I was listening to you...
That's not me. You're watching something on television that had to do with sea lions.
What are you watching, honey? My wife was watching a program on sea lions.
Yes, that's not my radio show.
I understand that now. I didn't know it then. And now I do. And the question that I have for you on the shutdown of the government, how can the government in all conscience do this when, in point of fact, you have people on Social Security, people on Medicare...
They're not going to... People on Social Security are going to...
Hold on, I haven't finished. And the United States military...
Whoa, hold on. All those people are going to get paid. All those people on Social Security, the U.S. military, they're all going to get paid.
Well, where did you hear that?
I heard that from the president himself. He said... The post office will continue to work. The military will get paid. The people on Social Security will get money. Emergency services will continue. Okay? So none of that will be affected. The shutdown has to do with non-essential services, as they say.
But the Social Security checks, you can assure me, will be mailed out.
That's exactly what I heard the president just say.
When did he say that?
I just saw it on television. It might have been a tape replay of something earlier, but he just said that that's what was going to happen.
Well, then I don't understand what everyone's screaming about. Somebody said that there was not going to be...
The people are screaming about the fact that the government... There's a lot of people that are not going to get paid. There's a lot of people that have jobs that aren't going to get paid.
Well, I understand that. But I was mostly concerned about myself and my wife. And I don't care if somebody else starves to death. Why do I care? The only... Will you turn that down, honey, please, for God's sake? Well, you had that on there the other...
All right, well, take it easy.
Wait, turn it down, honey. I thought it was the Phil Hendry Show. He doesn't talk about sea lions. My wife thinks he's... This is what I mean. If she doesn't get her Social Security check and we don't get our Medicaid... My wife's mind continues to dry up. And
I didn't know that, sir. Does she need some kind of assisted living?
Oh, yeah, you can say that again. Assisted living? Honey, that's not the Phil Hendry Show. That's a sea lion show. She thinks that you don't do sea lions, do you?
Smile when you say that.
I didn't mean do...
No, I don't do a sea lion show.
He doesn't do a sea lion show, dear. You see, my wife already has a very weak mind, and she thought that we were... Well, I apologize, Mr. Hendry. I wanted to talk about the government shutting down. That's exactly what you were talking about.
and my wife sits here with the sound turned up on the Cartoon Network, and I am ashamed. God, I'm ashamed.
It's okay, sir.
No, it's not okay.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Lloyd, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, how about a shot glass or something?
All right, hold on. I'll give you a shot glass.
Oh, you're a hell of a guy, Phil.
But give him a shot glass, will you? Don't bother me with that. Are you the guy that does the Sea Lion show?